So welcome back, listeners. It's great to be back doing another wee podcast episode here of Let's Do It. It has been a wee bit quiet recently, but you know, babies continue to be born and families continue to need some support, especially now more than ever with this pandemic continuing. So I just want to give you a quick update on this podcast. So to date, we have 30 episodes now that are available for you to listen to anytime, and you can listen to them on various platforms as well. And also, if you remember to subscribe to Let's Do It, it means you don't miss out if there's any new series that come out or any new episodes. So anyway, today's topic is about breastfeeding. Now, as you know, all our episodes are quite informal and not too long, usually around 20 minutes, 25 minutes. But I just wanted just to encourage you, to tune in and continue to listen to this. I have to say, we choose to do this wee podcast outside in open air at a wee place called Oxford Island, because it actually means something to both of us, to me and my guest. So the problem then was when I came back to edit the podcast that there was a wee bit of interference from the wind. So I'm just asking you please to bear with us. It's not going to take away from the content and from listening to the chat with our guest. So I hope you enjoy it nevertheless. Thank you. So here we are at the lovely Oxford Island, outside Craigavon, little subsidiaries of our beautiful Loch Ness. So we're very lucky to have such gorgeous countryside around us in our beautiful wee country. And today I'm joined by Claire Hackett. Now, I mentioned earlier, we're going to do our first episode here on the podcast about breastfeeding. So I met you, Claire, here a few years back. Mm-hmm. You were running a wee Mother's Matters fair here, and I had a wee stand for Doula UK, of course, and it was the first time we met, so it is quite poignant that we're back here as well just to do this wee podcast. So Claire, welcome and thank you so much for coming today. Yes, so thank you so much for agreeing to do this, Claire, for doing this wee podcast with me. As I know, you are a busy mum with three young children, and your wee children are age 10, 7 and 4.5. So that's no mean feat to get out the door to come along here this morning and join me just for a wee chat. So anyway, why don't we now start and tell the listeners all about you, yourself, and your interest in breastfeeding.
Where to start on?
Oxford Island here, you were telling me.
It's really lovely actually that we're doing this here, because back in 2018, I started working for a local community group, and one of the first things I started doing was running a breastfeeding group right here. And it was actually the first time I'd been to Oxford Island was when we decided to start running that wee group. And it was the loveliest group. And I'm still in touch with a lot of the mummies actually that came along to it.
Yeah.
I'm really passionate about breastfeeding. I breastfed all three of my children. I listened to my mum talk about breastfeeding. She often talked about how she fed me for 9 months. And I remember thinking she was an absolute lunatic. There was absolutely no need for that carryover. And then she didn't I go on. I fed the first for 18 months. Mm-hmm. Matthew was 2.5 and a wee bit. I was pregnant with Nina when I was. And like I say, Nina has just weaned my youngest there, and just over 4 years.
So you've got plenty of experience, Claire.
And varied. And that was the thing. I think whenever I fed my first for 18 months, I expected whenever Matthew came along to just pop him on the boob and all would be grand. Yeah. But all babies are different. And it's very different feeding a toddler to feeding a newborn again.
Oh, gosh.
So a lot of lived experience, shall we say.
Yeah. And because of all that experience, you were very involved in setting up that Facebook group that I really want all the listeners to hear about, the breastfeeding in Northern Ireland Facebook group.
Yeah. I can't take credit for setting it up. It was set up by a mum from Fermanagh, Adele. And I joined it. I was one of the first members to join. Oh my goodness. It must be maybe 9 years ago, 8-9 years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it just was a place for breastfeeding mums to get together and have kind of a safe environment to chat, because you know the way you come across, maybe your mum or your friends haven't breastfed and don't really get it. So it was a safe space to just kind of chat and be with other like-minded people. It's evolved a lot since then.
Yeah.
But it was through there that I heard of peer support training going on in the Western Trust. And even though that's not my trust area, I somehow managed to wind up a place onto it.
Good for you.
And that was where I met Adele in person. And after that, became an admin in the Breastfeeding in Northern Ireland group. And I can't really even express the effect that that group has had on me, not just in terms of my breastfeeding journeys, but my personal development. It has changed me as a person.
Wow.
It really has. I'm forever grateful to the other women on the admin team there, just for so much. I've learned so much from them, and like I say, not just about breastfeeding.
It's an amazing resource to have, like, and I'd let all my wee mummies ever come into contact with just tell them about it, and of course up to them whether they want to use it or not. But one of the big selling points is if you get up during the night and you think you're all alone, there's always somebody there, like, isn't there?
That's exactly it. It's 24/7, and okay, we mightn't be on there admining 24/7, but there's always somebody else awake during a night feed, you know. And that's a really vulnerable time for any mum. You know, when you're awake during the night and maybe struggling, and just to have that, it's not even a solution, Anne, that often, you know, breastfeeding people need. It's just, I hear you, I know what you're going through, you know, just make it till tomorrow morning, kind of.
Yeah, especially if, like, for first time mummies too, and they're up during the night and think, I'm the only one doing this, everybody else is, older babies are sleeping through the night or something. You hear all this, one of the big challenges, isn't it?
And that's it. You know, that's a very good point, because we do tend to think that everybody else's baby is sleeping through. So when you're awake and somebody else is awake, you know that it's that solidarity. That's community, Anne.
It is.
That's what it really is.
Yeah. And it's like-minded community too, isn't it? Because all the girls and the mummies on that, and there's mummies on that breastfeeding group, they know, you know, there's no judgment or nothing. It's just support. And that was so valuable, isn't it?
Well, that's the goal. And, I mean, sometimes, actually, we would find that people don't see it as non-judgmental as we would like them to think it is.
Yes.
But again, over the years, this is where I have evolved. As I say, I'm like a Pokemon. I have evolved to see that everybody comes at it from a different place, and you don't know what that person's background is, their experience, their struggles have been. But yes, we really want it to be, and I think it's a beautiful combination of that invaluable peer support. You know, you can't beat that lived experience of knowing that the person that you're speaking to has experience. They might not have had the exact same experience, but you know, when you're another breastfeeding mum, there is that bond, there is that connection, and I think it kind of gives a bit of safety as well. As then, you know, we're very passionate about making sure it's evidence-based, up-to-date information. And I think it's a really good example of kind of hierarchy nearly of breastfeeding support that we need here. You know, with all that just shared peer support, community at the base level, because so often things can be resolved just with reassurance. And then, you know, levels above that where maybe you need a wee bit more expertise, and then if that person can't fix it, you go above. Whereas I think out in the real world, I was a peer supporter then for the Southern Trust, and I actually stopped doing that because I felt stifled to the point of actually being unproductive, and there was so much kind of like red tape on what you could and couldn't do.
It's interesting,
because with, I know I'm probably speaking out of turn here, but it's my experience. We were there to be that first connection point, and from there, if there were difficulties, refer the mum on to her health visitor, her midwife. But actually what was happening in practice was that the mums were coming to the peer supporters when they had been let down by...
So it's reversed almost.
It was reversed. Nobody seems to really want to listen to that and address that. Whereas in BFNI, you have that hierarchy that flows and works. And I think it's a great example of kind of what does work for women.
And as you said earlier, Claire, like, every breastfeeding journey is like every pregnancy, every birth is so different. Even if you have three kids from the same, come from the same mummy and daddy, whatever, they're all so different in personalities and characters, and also with feeding too, isn't it? Because I do find that, you know, with mummies who have maybe their second or third babies, they just expect to get on with it. You know, it's like, well, you've breastfed before, you're grand, crack on there. And it's not always the case. And then they're almost a bit timid about reaching out for the support, whereas they can just get onto that Facebook page and someone else.
They don't even have to post, though. That's the beauty of it. They can just read and search. and still get that community and reassurance in a way that feels okay for them. And you know what you're saying there about all the journeys being different, you know, if my third had been my first baby, Anne, I wouldn't have breastfed. She was incredibly challenging. But I had, like, I had a Facebook Live there a few days ago with Carol, and that's what I caught, like, my lactation consultant in my pocket because I was so fortunate to have her to ask. I had my support network. For me, not breastfeeding kind of wasn't an option. Whereas if she had been my first, I wouldn't have got the support that I needed to overcome what were really basic kind of, it was positioning and attachment. It was probably likely down to the position in the womb or the birth. She really couldn't feed off one side. I was at an event actually with Carol, and she sat and observed a feed, and she could see just, I was soaked, you know. I had to take a change of clothes everywhere. The just the person, you know, there wasn't a seal, like, she wasn't and it was Carol that suggested to me about, you know, like, when you're changing her nappy, do you notice that she always turns her head to the one side? And it's just, it's that holistic approach, Anne, that is really, when you think about it, so simple. You know, and how, you know, so many babies are diagnosed and treated for tongue ties and stuff. And again, like, I was at a seminar that Carol did. And if you think about the tongue, it's connected to the jaw, which is connected to the neck. And if the baby has had maybe an instrumental birth, all these things need to be. But how often does it really just be brought back down to a mouth and a boob? It's so much more than that.
It is, yeah, so true. But here you're mentioning Carol Smith, and I think we have to give her a wee shout here.
Definitely.
I don't know, like, as a doula, I do have some breastfeeding training, and I have experience from my own kids too. That was a long time ago, I have to say. And I have been to Carol Smith. I've been to Carol's wee breastfeeding class just to get myself up to date. And I often would refer, you know, people that are really struggling, that I'm like, I've tried everything, I've shared all my experience and knowledge, and it's time to signpost. And I know my boundaries, so and I've often just said, oh, just give Carol a ring or get her out to whatever. And I know she's been doing the Zoom consultations too. So how would you best describe Carol? Her title,
like, she Carol is the booby oracle. Just, it was, and it's Carol, and I hope she doesn't mind me talking about her, as a La Leche League leader, but then went on to do her lactation consultant training, which is an IBCLC, so an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. To get that title, you have to do, I think it's about 1,000 hours of support with women. You know, it's a long slog to get that qualification and keep it. So you know you're dealing with somebody there that really has a passion and experience there with breastfeeding. But again, Carol is very much, I have learned a lot from her. She's actually recently, I don't know if she's finished her qualification yet, but in cognitive behavioural therapy. Because over the years she has recognised the connection between a mother's mental state and, you know, mental health and feeding. And actually her blog on the social nervous system was a light bulb moment for me when I was struggling with Nina. And again, somebody saying to you, you need to relax because your stress is affecting how you're feeding. Well, that's not going to help you relax.
I know.
But having it on a blog that you can sort of, it can percolate, and, you know, it made me realise that I was constantly listening for the older child, thinking about the dinner having to be cooked, thinking about what, and I made a conscious effort to relax and be present for the feeds.
Yeah.
And the difference.
So lovely. It's just, it's common sense sometimes, but it's just recognising that.
It is. It is. And it's just having, and again, I think that's the thing where breastfeeding in Northern Ireland and people like Carol come in, because they have the time to sit and actually listen. Our healthcare staff, you know, we have some amazing midwives and health visitors out there. None of them have time.
They're just flat out, aren't they?
They just don't have the time to sit and listen. Actually, one of the key points in my life, Anne, happened here at Oxford Island at the breastfeeding group that I was running here, and I spoke about it in the TED talk that I did about the importance of listening, about the wee mummy that came along here struggling with her second baby, and her first baby had had a cow's milk protein allergy or something she thought this one had, but everybody's just going, just give him a bottle, because they could see how overwrought she was. The baby was as well, he wasn't thriving, and it was just give him a bottle. And you know, she came here and she cried and we listened, and I left feeling so upset that she was so distressed and I hadn't helped her. And yet I saw her 2 days later at another wee group that we ran, completely transformed.
Wow. Yeah.
and I kind of feel like I'm going over my TED talk again, but you know, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it, and all it was because she felt heard, Anne.
Yeah.
We had the time to listen and let her, and often when people have that space to talk, you know, it's like counselling. To me, it's like it takes the sheep's wool in your head, and as you talk and somebody asks you the pointed questions, it spins it into a yarn that you can work with.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, what happened. She had the space to feel safe and heard. And we didn't tell her what to do. Yeah. She figured it out. And that empowered her.
Yeah.
And that was just a game-changing moment for me.
It's amazing, isn't it? And, you know, Claire, we could just sit here and talk the next hour about breastfeeding. And I said at the beginning, I always try to keep these not too long so people don't get fed up listening to us. But, you know, I think from what we're saying, we maybe have to do a podcast with Carol in the future, and maybe we can progress on to something else as well, you know?
Absolutely. I think because Carol has recently published a book on infant reflux.
That's right, yes.
Uh-huh. And so she is a mine of information.
Do you know, even that topic would be amazing, wouldn't it?
That's so common.
Maybe contact Carol to say. So anyway, back to you, Claire.
Yeah.
What's next for you? Because I know, see, I also remember meeting Claire when she was doing her doula training.
That's right. The doula stuff has never really got going for me. And yeah. I did try. I attended my first birth actually February last year, just before lockdown and everything hit. Uh-huh. And it was an incredible experience. I loved it.
Yeah.
But just for me in my life right now around the family, mm-hmm. being on call just wasn't something that I felt that I could.
Yeah.
And also I think I still really struggle with charging.
With the money side of
the
things.
The money side of things. But you know what? And it's so bad because to me, this is something I feel very strongly about. Our maternity services, mm-hmm. breastfeeding support, everything, mm-hmm. are propped up by female volunteers giving of their time for free.
Yeah.
That's not right. We wouldn't see men accepting that.
Don't actually anybody accept us, yeah.
And I don't accept it. Mm-hmm. And that takes me on to where I'm going now.
Yeah. Love it.
I have recently got involved with the Alliance Party.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that I come from a legal background. I used to be a solicitor. Never felt like the right fit for me. Nobody's ever happy leaving a solicitor's office. And so after I had my second son, I actually went back to working in Boots.
Mm-hmm.
I loved helping people. I loved talking to people. I love, even if it's they're coming in with a cough or a cold and you can give them, you know, help them. I just, that makes me happy, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then falling down the doula path, all the breastfeeding stuff and a bit of campaigning as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And seeing over the years how nothing is changing. Nothing is changing, and it really actually annoys me a bit that, you know, if there is going to be any increase in breastfeeding, there will be organisations out there that take credit who are doing nothing.
Yeah.
When it's people on the ground like Breastfeeding Northern Ireland, like La Leche League, like the NCT in Northern Ireland, like the doulas, right?
Yeah.
It's all of that's making the difference. And I think they're just, we need more women's voices in Stormont.
Mm-hmm.
We need more women's voices like mine, dare I say it.
You go for it, girl. Yeah.
And do you know what? It's just, it maybe sounds a bit naive. I just want a better country for my children.
Yeah.
I want it more inclusive. Mm-hmm. I want it more progressive. I want women's issues recognised more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, at the minute, I'm actually delivering with one of the counsellors up in Foyle.
Mm-hmm.
We have decided, because we were chatting one night and we realised we were both really angry about all of the same things.
Yeah.
And so we are doing a series of Facebook Lives exploring issues relating to women, and actually a lot of them around women's healthcare.
Brilliant, yeah.
So that's something that I want to, I can sit back and wish there was change, or I can try and make it happen. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, good on you, because there's no magic wands, and we've been looking for them forever. And it's just, all we can do is do this, a step by step, one person, and I hope the ripples go out.
That's so true, Anne.
Yeah.
It's like the starfish story. That's what keeps me going on the days when it feels like we're not making any progress.
Yeah, definitely. So would you like to tell the listeners, if they're interested to hear you talking about and your live, your Facebook Lives, where they can find you?
I mean, I have the Mummy McMumface profile, which is still there and still going, and I usually share them on there for anybody that maybe doesn't want to follow.
Right.
Trying to be very diplomatic with politics here on. But yes, I have my Claire Hackett, I think it's, if you search Claire Hackett APNI, that's my Alliance Party Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between there and Rachel Ferguson's Facebook page as we're taking it turnabout.
Right, very good.
So the next one, we actually hopefully will have Naomi along, looking at misogyny and all the stuff that the Department of Justice are doing, you know, around domestic violence.
Yes.
All those kind of things.
Right, so there you go now, listeners. You've really got your ears filled today with the two of us. Lots of new ideas, lots of way to follow us, and also keep subscribing to the podcast because it's free, there's no charge, and to keep up to date with what's going on here in Northern Ireland. If you want to contact Claire and you can't find her on Facebook or wherever, just drop me a line and I'll put you in touch with her. And you can find me on motherdoula.com or on my Instagram page and hypnodoula. So thank you very much for listening and we'll see you again.